Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The following is a presentation of Podcast One.
What the hell is Brett Favre doing here?
Eric Bolling and Brett Favre on everything from politics and sports to business and culture.
This year has been insane.
I got some advice for y'all. Take 2 weeks off, then quit.
That man right there, number four, Brett Favre. First NFL completion, and it's to himself.
It's big time and prime time.
That's why Brett Favre is Brett Favre. Yep.
Now it's Bolling with Favre.
Here we go. It's show number 11, 4/13/21 is when we're taping this. A lot to talk about. A lot happened over there. Good to see you, my friend, Brett.
And you as well, Eric. I think you were kind of busy this past week.
We had a little bit of, we're going to get to some of that stuff. It was a little bit crazy times. So before we do that, let's talk about this. We're giving away an autographed Brett Favre jersey. This is something you got to do. If you're listening right now, you're on, you're listening to the podcast, you're in the podcast, tell everyone about the podcast, let them know. And, also go and rate us on Apple. If you go to Apple, you can review and rate us. If you write a review and it's catchy and it's fun, you just might win a number four signed by Brett Favre. That man sitting right there, Hall of Fame quarterback, might win that jersey. We're going to read a few also.
Well, good. What jersey? What team?
I believe it's the Packers.
I was gonna say it's got to be Green Bay, right?
Were you four in Atlanta and New York and Minnesota?
Yeah,
all of them.
You know, I got number four. Let me back up. In high school, I was number 10. That was my favorite number. So I go to Southern Miss, and I was last on the totem pole. I was offered a scholarship the night before the official signing day. And so my choice was easy. I had one opportunity, and it was either take it or leave it. So I took it. So, like, you know, the rookies or freshmen report like 2 or 3 days earlier. I don't know if they still do this, but before the veterans come in. And I think kind of to – get you acclimated. So first thing you do is you go in and you say, the equipment manager, David Bounds, who still works here at Southern Miss. David said, what number you want? He's kind of a dry guy. What number you want? I said, 10. He said, 10's taken. Reggie Collier, great player. And true. They had plans to retire his jersey, rightfully so. And I said, what else you got? He said, you can have four or nothing. So obviously I didn't have much bargaining power. So I said, hey, four sounds great.
Sounds great.
I'm thinking to myself, who wears four?
Can I tell you how many people in high school baseball, college baseball, Pirates, the number matters, right? I mean, because you want a lucky number. You want to feel good about what you're wearing on your chest and your back.
Absolutely. Which, you know, going back to that moment, I'm thinking, and off the top of my head right now, I can't think of a number four. I mean, this was in 87 when I was a freshman. So you can't think of many fours that had made a name for themselves.
I'll tell you what, no one wants a four now and a quarterback because they got to stand in your shadow and try and there'll be constant comparisons, number four, Brett Favre. And that's some big shoes to fill, so to speak. Some big size 14s, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, a good friend of ours, also went to Southern Miss, Larry Boyd. His son Drew is the ace pitcher, the Sunday starter for our baseball team here at Southern Miss, and is doing great. Great kid, and he's got number four. Now he didn't start with four, but. you know, I poke fun at his dad. Larry's like, hey, he's got some big shoes to fill. I said, no, he'll do fine. And he's doing great. So I don't, other than he, there's only a few other fours.
How about Archie Manning?
Eight.
Oh, yeah.
Archie Manning wore it. It looks like he wore number four when he was in Minnesota for a stint. That's about the only one I could pull before your time. Everybody else is after your time. Dak Prescott wears it. Deshaun wears it. So
yeah. Well, maybe I made it cool to wear number four. That's kind of how it works, you know. It's like when you're up and coming, you pick a number based on your hero or your guy. So.
Sure, there's a lot of guys playing Pee Wee football, high school football. That I'll take number four if I can only be number four. If I could do half of what number four did. Brett, a lot of other stuff going on in the news and a lot of it sports related. Now, let's start with a couple of them. One thing that popped up this morning: DraftKings is looking for a media partnership now. Doesn't sound like a big story, but in business and in sports business, it is a big story. It's just been going on for the last couple of years. There's been consolidation. So these DraftKings, FanDuel, Bally's, all these gambling networks, whether they're casinos, all who have sports books, are looking to partnership with different media entities. So DraftKings is looking for the best media partner. The one that comes to mind recently, and they've been in the news, Penn Gaming bought Barstool Sports. Now, we know some people from Barstool Sports involved in some of the podcasts on this network, so we'll tread a little lightly on that, but Penn Gaming bought Barstool Sports. Penn Gaming went from, I don't know, relative obscurity to when Dave Portnoy, the I guess El Presidente, they call him at Barstool, I guess he's the founder, when he started talking about Penn Gaming with the partnership, it went in the mid-60s stock price, went all the way up to $140-something a share, and he'd been pumping it and talking about it. But then something happened this week. There was a sex tape by Portnoy. Someone leaked yet another, his third sex tape. And I'm watching Penn Gaming meltdown. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is I don't care what people do. Do whatever the hell you want to do. I'll tape it, send it out, show it, whatever. It doesn't matter to me. But when it affects the stock prices of people who are investing in these stocks, it matters. Penn Gaming went from 140 the day before this news or ballpark down to $99 a share yesterday. That's a substantial wiping out of equity for people who had nothing to do with Dave Portnoy's sex tape. Just thought it was interesting what's going on.
I shot a commercial last Monday in Louisville, Kentucky with a company that's has established themselves because they own Churchill Downs, mm-hmm. but they're basically getting into the sports book part of it. Like most people, like, hey, how do we get into that? So, you know, there's a potential, and the company is Twin Spires, Bet America. And, that's my second time to shoot that commercial. And how does that relate to what you're talking about? Only if there's a partnership there, but,
that's what's going on. These sports books are wildly profitable, but, and here's the business end of this. So look at, Bally's. Bally's is a sports book in, I guess around the world, but it's lost obscurity. It used to be a big name in the 80s, mm-hmm. big gambling. And then people just started going to in Las Vegas, they go to the Wynn or the Las Vegas Sands groups, the Palazzo, other gaming places, casinos. So Bally's is trying to come back. And rather than trying to come back with a new brand by doing commercials, they just partnered with Sinclair, regional sports network. So they have 21 different cities. They have sports networks, local sports networks, but they'll be renamed Sinclair Bally's or Bally Sinclair or something like that. So I guess the investment is they believe it'll be more profitable rather than putting ads into different shows. They'll just partnership with the network and be just omnipresent on these different networks. Smart. I think it's smart for these, as long as people watching, and typically they're going to be in sports related media content entities, they're accepting of it. So people who don't get into sports and don't want to hear about it or see it, but this seems to make a lot of sense. I like the idea.
Yeah, I do too. I'm not a gambler. You know, it sounds crazy because I played as if I were a riverboat gambler. But it's funny, when they opened casinos here in Mississippi many years ago, and I'm not sure if you've ever been to it, it's beautiful down the Gulf Coast.
Yeah.
I mean, they've done a really, really marvelous job.
Biloxi has a big.
Well, I'd walk into those casinos, and I'm sure, you know, they were like, oh, yeah, we're going to get some money.
well, they are, Brad. It doesn't matter who you are.
I would throw 20 white chips out there and say, let it ride.
Let it ride. Yeah. No chocolate chips, right? No chocolate, just the white chips. So let me ask you this while we're on it, before we move on. But when you were playing, did you ever, I mean, you must have looked at the lines, like Packers favored by 3. You must have been like, damn, that this is, we're going to beat them by 15. What are they thinking? You ever just think about it?
You know, I never did. My mother-in-law did. She was like, I can't believe they got y'all underdogs in 7. What do you think of the over at 37?
I love that. I love her.
And she's still like that.
I was calling her, Brett. I'm like, hey, can you call Brett and find out what he thinks of the over at 37?
Well, you know, along the same lines, my last year, which was year 20, and I may have mentioned this on a previous show, but I mean, this was roughly 10 years ago. So not that long ago, but in the fantasy football world, it was kind of the new craze. I mean, it'd been around a few years, but people were just starting to catch on to it. So my wife, my sister-in-law, Bus, my agent, his wife, Janine, they all had a league together. There was a bunch of them. And so we're playing outdoors at the University of Minnesota because the dome had collapsed and Adrian was banged up. And my sister-in-law was up in Minnesota staying with us that week with her husband. And so she says, you think Adrian's going to play? And I'm like, I was thinking to myself, why does she really care?
Yeah. She's got two dimes.
I said, I really don't know. And I was kind of wondering the angle. And she goes, well, I need to know. And I said, why do you need to know? She goes, because I need to know if I can play him on fantasy. And I'm like,
fantasy, yeah.
And then the next question was, do you think you're going to throw it a bunch to Percy?
I love this. I love this. This is great. And she, you know, when she said fantasy, she did the air quotes with her two fingers on each side. What she was really doing, she had her bookie on hold to figure out how much she's going to bet on Favre. I bet like crazy during football season. I don't bet really any other sports but football. And I'll never forget this past Super Bowl when Tampa Bay was in Mahomes over under was 40 passes, right? Over under. I had him on the over, right? And he was at 38, I think it was at the time. And Tampa Bay decided if on a 4th and 1 or so to kick the ball back to Mahomes, like, what are you doing? You got this game, you know, your defense is playing off the chart, off the hook. You're going to win this game. I'm like, why are you kicking it? And then I realized I kick it and Mahomes throws 3 more passes. I hit the over. I was like, okay, I'm loving this, but I'm into every prop bet you can possibly think of.
I know it seems like sometimes, like in that case, like that just adds, it's just a positive reinforcement that there's this, that the league is in on the gambling. I mean, you know what I mean? I don't believe that.
Yeah. Yeah. They called Arians and said, kick the ball. What's Commissioner Goodell called? Hey, kick the damn ball, Arians, because we need Mahomes to get over 41 passes.
Exactly.
I love it. Brett is saying that with tongue firmly planted in cheek. So all you wackos out there who say Brett Favre says the league is cooking the games, don't even go there. We were talking about hunting, and you may not realize, but Brett is really serious about his hunting. So he needs serious gear when he's out there. SA Company has all the protective gear you need to brave the elements and explore more every day.
Yeah, I love those SA face shields. They are UPF 30, lightweight, breathable, the perfect piece of protective gear for your next adventure. I've got the camo ones for when I'm out hunting, and they are so comfortable, and they're perfect for hunting, hiking, fishing, skiing, riding, and biking.
SA offers dozens of eye-catching designs for men, women, and children. SA face shields offer breathable protection from everything the outdoors throws at you. Sun, wind, cold, insects, dust, dirt, and moisture. And they're one-size-fits-all, machine washable, and a lifetime warranty, zero risk. Really cool designs, too.
Yeah, it is. And SA believes in giving back through their partnership with Operation Gratitude, and they've donated well over 100,000 face shields to those on the front lines of the pandemic. For every order, SA donates one face shield to a first responder. Now, that's incredible.
That is cool. That's really cool. Stay protected outdoors, because right now you can get an insane deal. Buy one, get this, buy one, get four free. A $150 value for just $24.99. So just go to safishing.com/bowling to get five face shields for the price of just one, plus a lifetime warranty and free returns if you're not completely satisfied. That's safishing, FISHING.com/bowling, BOLLING.
Tongue twisters there, Eric.
I just want to point out Luke Bryan was supposed to be on the show today, but he came down with COVID. I guess yesterday he told Entertainment Tonight via or a tweet told us that he was sick. Brito got in touch with him. He had to apologize. He's what'd you say?
Well, he sent me a message and said, "Hey man, I'm sorry. I can't, my voice is terrible." And I said, "So you're saying I could probably out sing you at the moment?" And he said, "Absolutely."
We should have done that on the show for sure.
Yeah. Strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah, yeah. We're still waiting on your Harry Carey because we promised, and at some point,
yeah, you got to give me a heads up so I can practice it. Go back and work at some of it.
Okay, heads up.
Buy some glasses.
Heads up. Let's do Harry Carey next week. If you brush off a few videos, check him out. Check out Harry Carey. I'll sing along with you, brother. That was my favorite. That man was my favorite broadcaster in the history of broadcasting. So Luke will be on May 11th. What I understand, May 11th is the date he's going to be on.
You know, I'm always reluctant to jump the gun, but my great friend Tim McGraw. As he and I go way back. And like when I first started the show, we were texting about something else. I said, "Hey, when you get bored one day, why don't you come on the show?" And typical Tim, "I'd love to." He said, "Just let me get back from California." He's been out there for several weeks. And he sent me a message at 12:20 last night and said, "Hey, I can't this week, but what about next week?" So take that for what it's worth. There's a possibility.
Yeah, love to get them. Love to get all them. They're your friends, and it's really cool hearing you guys talk about, you know, some of the time you spend together. It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun. We talk about this very quickly before we move on to some of the other stuff, some fun stuff. Today, Tuesday, taping this Tuesday morning, just announced right before we came to air that the U.S. is pulling, at least I believe it's officially pulling or attempting to pull the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, because it's from people, six people are either died or have serious clotting issues, brain clotting, et cetera. And what brings me to mind, Brett, is all this talk. I mean, it's just everything in the last year has become political. If you're on the right, you don't want to wear a mask because it just symbolizes something on the left. If you're not wearing a mask, you're some sort of cretin and you want to kill everybody. The mask is one thing, and the vaccine's another thing. They pushed everyone to get a vaccine. Look, I've worn a mask for better part of 3.5 years, almost 4 years on airplanes. I just didn't want to. So I don't believe it's political. I think it's safe. That makes me not liked by people on the right. Whatever. Here's the point. They pushed us all to get this vaccine. They even talked about vaccine passports. And now we find out that they rushed through some of these, probably through some of these trials. We're not sure they're safe. So your thoughts on a vaccine and the vaccine passports?
Well, I think, you know, as I said earlier, are we surprised when we hear the possibility that vaccines are not safe? And not that drug companies or developers don't have the best of intentions. It was rushed. You know, to get a drug passed through the FDA can be years. And if you're lucky,
So, you know, we have friends, we have family that's gotten a vaccine. Me and my wife and our two daughters, we have not gotten a vaccine. I always kind of jokingly say to people, I'm going to let others test the water first.
Yeah. Yeah. But here's the problem. I agree with you. I don't want to get the vaccine. I prefer not to. I just don't know what they're putting in my body. Just generally don't like it. I'm not against it. Just don't like it. But to say that I can't go to a restaurant or I can't get on an airplane or I can't, you know, go to a ball game without a passport, without a thing that says I've been vaccinated, that's insanity.
Aren't we in the U.S.?
Yeah. My health, my body, my choice, right? I'm my body, my choice. That's a moniker on the left about abortion. How about vaccine? My body, my choice. Is that not also, does it only work in certain instances? Does it only count when it's something you want us to do or not do?
Yeah. I'm totally with you there. I think, some of the people I've talked to, we're Catholic and our priest, Father Tommy, who we're real close to. He's from Ireland. We went on a trip to Ireland with him a couple of years ago, had a great time. So we were talking the other day and I said, he usually takes a tour sometime in June or July. And I said, are you going to be able to make it this year? He said, well, it's not looking like it. I said, if you got the vaccine, shit. He goes, no different. And I'm like, well, why even get it? I mean, you start to quarantine, there's no guarantee that it's working, in everyone, there has been issues. So there's absolutely no benefit except for, I guess, personally, you feel safe now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other than that, doesn't get you in any quicker to a country than the next. You still got to quarantine. I don't know.
Yeah. It's to demand me do something that I prefer.
Yeah. On top of all that.
Yeah, it doesn't seem American. Bitcoin.
What are they going to do? So what are they going to do? So like if.
I don't know. This just happened. Like, this happened an hour before showtime, and they just said we may be pulling the Johnson & Johnson, which leaves Moderna. Who knows? Who knows?
I mean, in regards to mandatory vaccines, how do they police that? So if is it you can't go into a public?
So what the proposal was, it's floated, it's not law yet or rule or by state yet, where, like, for example, remember when New York and Florida was opening up and people in Governor Cuomo in New York's like, well, forget you, Florida, you can't come back to New York. People who go to Florida can't come back. You can't go to Florida, come back to the state. And so there's these vaccine cards, one dose, two dose in the case of Johnson & Johnson's the two. One was two, whatever. And you just have a stamp that says you've been vaccinated. So almost like showing your ID when you get on a plane. Here's my ID. Here's my driver's license. Here's my vaccine card to prove so I can get on this airplane. It's insane. It's crazy what the proposal was. I mean, it's just unconstitutional. It's not American. I don't know how they could possibly do it. It just doesn't make sense to me. Mm. But hey, can I just tell you, for the record, we started the show February 2nd, I believe is the first week. And we were talking about different things. Like, let's talk about Bitcoin. I'm a huge, huge Bitcoin advocate for a long time. And our friend, your friend, Brett, your pal, your close friend, Pancho, told us a story in the green room before the show that he was once paid 180 Bitcoin way back when it was only worth a few bucks for some rental property that he had. And the person mm-hmm. who was renting it only had Bitcoin and gave Pancho Bitcoin, and Pancho made, a couple hundred bucks, a couple thousand bucks on Bitcoin back in the day. And this is probably like, whatever, 2010, whatever it was, 11, 12. His 180 Bitcoin, if he had held it instead of making, 1,500 to 2,000, it would be worth $11.3 million right now.
I won't tell him that until this show's over. I'm going to wait.
Well,
it's killing me right now. I want to tell him and say, Pancho, you know that few hundred
dollars per Bitcoin or whatever that you, well, it's only, you had a cash of 12 million roughly.
Yeah. Well, he listens to the show and he gives you grief on the golf course is what he tells us. Like that, he's like, stop talking about my Bitcoin losses. Wood begins. Poncho. Gonna get Poncho on one of these days. April means a lot of not so fun things. Getting fooled, April Fools. Getting rained on, you know, April showers bring May flowers, and getting your taxes done, April 15th. So if you need a positive experience to balance it all out, consider shopping for home and auto insurance with Policy Genius. Policy Genius can help you find home and auto coverage similar to what you have now, but at a lower price. They've saved people up to $1,055 per year on home and auto coverage.
And it's super easy. Just head to policygenius.com and answer a few quick questions about yourself and your property. Then Policy Genius takes it from there.
Yeah, they'll compare rates from over all of America's top insurers, from Progressive to Allstate, to find your lowest quotes. The Policy Genius team will then look at all the ways to maximize your savings, including bundling your home and auto policies. So if Policy Genius finds a better rate than what you're paying now, they'll switch you over for free.
Hey, that kind of service has earned Policy Genius a 5-star rating across over thousands of reviews on Trustpilot and Google.
Yeah, so while you're gearing up for spring cleaning, don't forget to dust off your home and auto insurance policies also with Policy Genius. Reshop your rates and you could save up to $1,055. Head to policygenius.com and get started right now. Policy Genius, when it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right. I had a bit of a run in this week after the show. Tuesday or Wednesday, maybe last week or so. I was just having a crazy day. It was just one of those days. BBC, I do a bunch of TV stuff for some U.S. cable companies, but also I do China television. I do Sky News in London, but this is BBC in London and it was their evening news. And they said, can you come in and talk a little bit about what's going on with Major League Baseball, pulling the All-Star game from Atlanta. And we're going to have a debate on, what's going on. And typically I usually find out who I'm going to speak to or with on the other side. I was just having a day and I show up. Bottom line is I show up to this BBC interview, this 7-8 minute segment on this topic. And the BBC host comes to me first and she says, what are your thoughts? And I just went into what we did last week, Brett. It was just, it was one of those things where, Major League Baseball, I believe, just made a rash, quick decision that they probably shouldn't have. They probably made a mistake because what they're trying to do is protect minorities and minority businesses and minority fans and minority people by making a statement by moving the All-Star game out of Atlanta, 50% African-American, into a city, Denver, 9.7% African-American. And I sort of said that, you're hurting Major League Baseball. You're hurting minorities. You're hurting minority businesses. You're pulling economic activity, $100 million of revenue out of a city that's 50% black. What do you expect the fallout's going to be? Of course they're going to get hurt by it. The person on the other side, and I never heard of her before, her name was Aisha Mills. I believe she's a Harvard professor, adjunct professor, whatever. Just went at me right afterwards. Like just went after the first thing out of her mouth. The first thing said, I'm going to speak about some of the garbage that came out of that guy's mouth, like just a personal attack out of the box. And I'm literally just stating facts, $100 million in revenue, 8,000 hotels that were booked have to be unbooked. This is going to hurt by 50%. It was just straight numbers. Mm-hmm. And then I think Rob, do we have some of the audio? She basically called me a racist because of the color of my skin. And I just kind of lost it. If we have it.
She had that. Her mind was made up. No, nothing you were going
to
say.
Yeah, here's the audio.
And how dare you try to act like you are somehow a proponent of black people in businesses just to make a point and to try to create a wedge. It's ignorant and it's just disrespectful.
That's disgusting. I'm done. Put me off. That's disgusting. I am nowhere near anything you're painting me to be. And the problem with American politics is exactly that. Because I'm white, you think I'm racist? That's BS. I'm okay. Done.
Eric, will you just stay for this question? So the question we've got, Aisha, is stay for one question, Eric. Let me put this to you.
I don't know why I'm staying here. I need an apology. Let me put to you the question.
Oh, that,
I'm not.
That Mitch McConnell was saying.
For being offended. No.
Aisha, okay.
So I got up and I left. I've never done that. I've been doing TV for the better part of 20 years right now. I've never, ever done that. I hate doing it. I was just so offended. I was just so blindsided by it. So offended. I felt like, Brett, you know how people, first of all, I felt what was being done to me was exactly racism defined, where someone is judged by the color of their skin, not by anything they've said or anything they've done, or just personally, just a straight up attack. I will tell you the rage I felt at that moment. I understand racism now. I understand how being judged for the color of your skin is infuriating and wrong. On the other hand, if we're going to get better in this country and if we're going to heal a racial divide, that can't be okay either. It can't be okay to judge because I'm white, to assume I'm racist or bigoted, because I'm not. And I'm not going to go into all the very, very many reasons I'm not, including the diversity in my immediate family. How's this? I guarantee I have more diversity in my family than Aisha Mills has in hers. And when I say diversity, I mean differences of ethnic backgrounds. So non-homogenous backgrounds. I guarantee I have more racial diversity in mine than she does. But argument for another day. Brett, how are we going to heal?
You walking out is... In this case, I think certainly justified, because there was nothing you were going to say. In fact, had you never said anything prior to her coming on and then her coming on, she still was going to paint you as the same, you know, the same person that she painted you as. I mean, and then by staying on for another question, she's not going to apologize. There's nothing you were going to do or say was going to change your mind.
I can't tell you how many, and what I realized at that moment and since, and it's been a week, less than a week, I think it was a Wednesday of last week or so, an outpouring of people who've contacted me. Like, here's the thought. I'm white and I'm not racist. I'm not bigoted. I don't have any of that in my body, but I'm afraid to even defend it. I'm afraid to even say it because it sounds like you're guilty just by defending yourself in these instances. I went on a show, Brett, and I said, look, and this is what a year ago would have gotten me probably thrown out of every single media property. I said, I'm going to stand up because I'm not racist. And you can't call me racist just because I'm white. And I said, it's gotten to a point where why are all lives matter? Why is that a racist statement? Is that not the most inclusive statement you could possibly say?
An ID for voting any different than asking for an ID to buy liquor?
Yeah, there's so many. It's just incredible. Like to say Black Lives Matter. If you say all lives matter, it's somehow taking away from Black Lives Matter. No, all black is all part of all. Be inclusive. Why can't we be? Why is it that something that happened, and we understand that there was racism and inequality and bad things happened between blacks and whites 70, 80, 90 years ago. I get it. I understand that. It has nothing to do with me or Brett or any most people right now. The vast majority, the vast, 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 vast majority of white people aren't inherently racist. I'm sorry. This is something that's going to be controversial. I said it. There, I said it. I'm white. Yeah. I'm not racist. Deal with it.
You know, it's sad how we've gotten to this point. And maybe it's got to get worse before it gets better. But, you know, I rest on the fact that the people who know me, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, I'm friends with a little bit of a kind of a melting pot. Those people who know me would just like me speaking on their behalf. You know, one of my closest friends is Deion Sanders. And when I talk to Deion, I don't go, that's my black buddy. He's like family. he is family to me. We go way back, and you know, he as well as myself, we don't see color.
Right.
We see what, you know, Deion is, I mean, he is an awesome dude.
Yeah.
And if I had a son, I'd send him to Jackson State to play there in a heartbeat, because I know he's going to treat him no different than he's going to treat the other guys. Yeah. And, you know, that's what we need to get to.
Yeah, let's get him on. I'd love to talk to him. Let's you know.
Oh, he'll come. Yeah, he'll come on.
Yeah, let's bring him on. It'd be great. We can do a rock scissors paper for who gets to be called primetime.
I think I know who's going to win that one.
I do too.
And who's made more money with that name?
Probably true. 100% true. At least on the name. I'm not going to give him all the accolades for the numbers. Brett, I want to talk to you about this. I know it's part of this. We're going to play this little game in a few minutes that Rob came up with. But in the meantime, the Masters, man, that was amazing.
Awesome.
Hideki Matsuyama, is that how to pronounce it? I believe that's how I pronounce it.
That's correct.
Man, he crushed it. He was just, for the last 36 holes, I think he led the last 36. Is that right? But what a tournament.
Yeah. You know, he doesn't speak English or very little. And I was thinking about that. It never really dawned on me until he was in contention and it looked like he was going to win it. And I said, you know, we're talking about race and you know, just the turmoil within this country. Could you imagine not being able to speak English and fighting and clawing your way in a sport? They play golf in Japan, play it a lot, but he's not playing in Japan. He's playing with primarily Americans, some Europeans, and doesn't speak English, and is always in contention or winning. And I think it was Saturday night, the guys from the Golf Channel were doing kind of a roundtable deal, and one of the guys was talking about playing around with him, Matsuyama in Phoenix, and his interpreter just kept saying how humble he is and how he couldn't believe he was playing with this guy, and what an honor, you know. And so from there, I loved him. I was pulling for it.
Yeah. He along those lines, there was a Darren Rovell, who used to be at CNBC Sports Report. I don't know where he is now, tweeted a picture. He was on a flight from Atlanta right after the Masters. He was on a flight from Atlanta to Chicago, and Hideki Matsuyama was sitting at the gate, like just checking out his phone with a green jacket draped over, literally the green jacket draped over the chair next to him. And it, just him alone, like that.
No, I didn't see that, but wow. Yeah. What a picture.
That's amazing. Darren Rovell's tweet, kind of crazy. You watch a tournament, because I was just fascinated with Xander Schauffele. Man, I was pulling for him. I just wanted him to come in second. And that young kid, the 24-year-old kid, Will, starts with a Z.
Rob Zalatoris.
Yeah, Zalatoris.
Yeah.
Will was, you know, Zalatoris is putting out of his mind, out of his mind. I just wanted Schauffele. And then Schauffele triple bogeyed on like 15 or 16. It was just a complete last minute meltdown for the kid. I was just wanted to see him do well too. Your thoughts?
I watched bits and pieces, saw more highlights after the fact than I did watching the day. And it's all John Rahm. I'm a big fan of. I played with him several years ago in the Zurich Classic down in New Orleans, and we kind of stayed in contact the whole time. So that's what's kind of funny about these tournaments. You know, they're not a one-day deal, so you got a little time to the shuffling. And who's going to emerge? Very rarely does someone take the lead like Justin Rose and keep it. To me, it's kind of part of the whole lure of the Masters. And I know that's golf in general, but
the pressure that comes with that. And it's not like that's Justin's first rodeo. It just being in the moment, whole, taking it one at a time, it's got to be, it's kind of like not putting yourself in the fourth quarter when you're down 28-0, being able to stay in the moment, because the only way you're going to win is staying in the moment and focusing on the play that you're running now. You know you need 28 points, maybe more. You know you need to solidify your lead, but you start thinking ahead, it catches up to you. And the back and forth, the tug of war.
Yeah, that's it. You start thinking. I mean, once you're thinking about your shot, your pass, your swing, hitting the ball. I mean, then you're gone. Then the world is beating you. The sports world is beating you. You're not gonna hit the shot. You point out that focus. I don't think anyone had the focus the way Tiger did in those years that he was just crushing.
Absolutely not. You're right.
That guy would go. He would just get into the zone and just stay in for just you must spend in the obviously know the feel. But he stayed in the zone longer than anyone I've ever seen in sports.
Well, I can think of several times in particular, and I know any golfer, fair weather or semi-professional that's listening to the show would certainly agree and has their own memories. If it was a major and Tiger on the third day, finished the day, 8 shots back and is either in second or third. Are we surprised at the outcome? He ended up coming back to win. Yeah. And I think there's no doubt they may say different, but the leaders were always looking over their shoulder. And that was part of Tiger's. I mean, it wasn't part of his game plan. It just was what it was. That Tiger's looming. I better be on my game in the pressure that you put upon yourself.
Yep.
To extend that lead was too great. And you falter, and he ends up – and if he got a 10, 15-foot putt or closer to tie, win, whatever, we all know what happened.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It was. That's it, Brett. You hit it. Tiger, when he was up front, never looked over his shoulder, and that's how he stayed in the zone. But if he was second nipping on someone's heels on a couple of shots
– I think he loved that position more than being in the lead.
Is he cut the comeback? Yeah.
Because he knew he had right where he wanted. And they're being up, and now he may not admit this, but being up, it's, after a while, probably got boring because no one ever came from behind and beat him.
Right.
But he came from behind many times to win. So he almost probably positioned himself to 7 back going into the last day.
Yeah, and Masters is the place to, Augusta is the place to do it if you're going to be 7 back and still win it.
What's better than courtside seats? Free sports on Pluto TV. Hey, sports fans, get all your sports free on Pluto TV. Pluto TV is your home for sports. Watch 24/7 channels of MLB, MLS, MMA, sports news and analysis, plus documentaries, TV shows, and movies, all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts, ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.
Rob, you want to throw a couple of them at us, this new little game we're going to play?
Sure. This is called Buy or Sell. So I'm going to throw you a quick topic, and you guys just tell me, buy it or sell it. You like it? You buy it, sell it, I can live without it. Herschel Walker teased he might run for U.S. Senate. Buy or sell athletes in politics?
Buy.
Buy.
You both
buy.
We need someone like him.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Herschel would do great. He's so awesome.
It was always wild for me to see Jesse Ventura as a governor for so long because it was just – I remember watching him in WWF when I was a kid.
I sell, for the record, Jesse Ventura.
Oh, really?
Anything and everything he's ever done, including wrestling and being governor of Minnesota and going off the grid. And I hope he stays off the grid in Mexico.
Oh, wow. Strong words for Jesse Ventura. Mercedes released designs for their 2022 EQS. Buy or sell self-driving cars?
I'll buy that. I love the idea. I don't, go ahead, Brett.
Not particularly. I mean, I'm just from a
car that drives itself, and I can play on my iPad and use Solitaire. And I know it's probably not recommended. Yeah, I'll buy.
Okay, all right. Now, I'm always a little wary of the self-driving cars.
So wait, I have a question. Self-driving, are we to the point where you can sleep or you can have a cocktail and get, I mean, and go?
Well, probably don't condone that, but I'm sure. Wink, wink.
Yeah. Well,
it's not like crack open a bud and drive to.
Well, you know. Right. So when is that? I'm all for that day, like where it doesn't matter, right? What? Why isn't that day? I'm buying that day.
It's coming. It's coming here.
I don't think we're all the way there yet. We're on our way.
You gotta crawl before we walk.
Exactly. Ajagba Effie had a brutal one punch knockout over the weekend. Buy or sell MMA?
Oh, I buy it.
Buy it all.
Those guys are in tremendous shape.
Buy it all the way. As long as it's all men on the men's side and women on the women's side, I'm all for it.
Yeah. Julian Edelman announced his retirement yesterday. Buy or sell? He plays one more season with Tom Brady in Tampa.
I'm buying he plays one more.
You think?
I see that. As soon as I heard that he was done, I said, there's no way they're not going to one last swan song.
One last ride. What do you think, Eric? Buy or sell, he plays another season?
I hope he does, because I think it's one of those things where he's Brad will probably tell you, he just got boring. It just got repetitive probably in New England. And one more.
Well, quit throwing the ball.
Yeah.
It kind of became unimportant.
And some of these times, sometimes when you just get a new look, a new stadium, you got the same quarterback who was just awesome. You know, Julian Edelman, are you kidding me? This guy was like third down gold in the slot, right?
He still can be.
Yeah.
Buy or sell, Julian Edelman is a Hall of Famer.
Pass.
What do you think, Brett?
I think
he's got to be close, right?
He's definitely close. I think I can make the argument for both sides, but I think he plays one more year. Okay. As a, you know, an average of 8 to 10 catches per game, which is very easily possible. Maybe wins another Super Bowl. There's no reason to think that what I'm saying is not going to come true.
Right.
So. Kind of like Gronkowski. I mean, he didn't put up major statistics, although he could have. He just was part of that team and the lore. But Edelman can really help. You go, well, they don't need the help. Edelman's help they could use.
Yeah. Kevin James will portray Saints head coach Sean Payton in an upcoming Netflix movie. Buy or sell Kevin James?
I think he's a great actor. I don't know if he's he's kind of a peculiar choice. I just don't relate him and Sean Payton. Sean's a good friend of mine.
But like you see Kevin James is starring in a movie. You're going to watch it or are you going to pass?
It all depends. I mean, no offense to him. But
yeah.
I'm going to buy that in a big way. I still watch reruns of King of Queens and
he's funny.
And Doug and his UPS uniform. It's so
that was
awesome.
A good show.
I just don't know how you make Sean Payton funny. I mean, I don't really get that.
Or you make Kevin James a serious football.
Yeah, I don't want to. You're right, Brett. I don't want to see Kevin James being serious.
No,
he's just too
kind of like Jim Carrey playing in a serious movie. You go, love the story, but I'm thinking Ace Ventura, the Pet Detective.
Hell yes. Know?
Yeah, and Brett, one of the movies you mentioned, I think when we were doing a movie little segment, was The Martian. And I was just watching a few minutes of The Martian yesterday. Well, I don't know why, but Kristen Wiig is in there. She's hilarious. And she plays a serious role in there. It's just like, I want to see her funny. I don't want to see her in the serious role.
Yes, Bridesmaids.
Yeah, Bridesmaids is one of the funniest movies ever.
Such a good movie.
Me and my wife watched it in the hotel the other night for the 100th time.
Yeah.
And it was funnier. At 100, you know, I mean, it's one of those that you go back and it's like five. And I know we're getting off the subject, but the Bridesmaids is one of the, I mean, it's like she in particular had five probably different scenes that were just hilarious. Trying to get the cops' attention.
That's the best scene ever.
Oh.
Where she rolls by like 20 times.
Yeah.
Throws stuff out the window. drink some wine. Yeah. Smoke
having the run in at first class on the airplane.
Oh man. Great movie. Survivor contestant Wendy Diaz said she appeared on the show back in the day just to sabotage other contestants, not to win the $1 million. Buy or sell, you'd go on Survivor.
Sell.
You're not going.
Bye.
You're
Bye.
Going?
Fuck you. Hell yeah.
All right. Yeah. I would love to see Eric on Survivor. That's great. Yeah. We had a professional bowler nicknamed Ginger Assassin hit the first 7-10 split on TV in 30 years. Buy or sell bowling. Not Eric bowling, but the sport of bowling.
Here's my answer. No. What is a 7-10 split?
Oh, jeez.
It's the far right and the far left pin only. So it's the only two pins standing.
The hardest
shot in bowling. Yeah.
And the only way to hit this, Brett, is to clip the inside of, let's just say, the right pin and have it bounce off the right wall and slide across and take out the pin on the other pin on the other side.
Wow.
It's a phenomenal shot. It's just crazy. I'm buying bowling.
Are you a good bowler, Eric?
I don't know, 180.
Okay.
Yeah, it's respectable.
All right.
I don't do it often. I just, you know, yeah. I'm an athlete. I love it, and it's fun. But they got to figure out something to get young people involved. Like, what's the catch? Is it music? What do they need? They need something. Outfits, music, cheerleaders. I don't know what they need. They need something.
We got to sexy up bowling. And Eric as well. The Correct. Umps missed a really blatant call at the end of the Sunday night Braves-Phillies game where Alec Bohm scored but never really touched home plate. Buy or sell, replay in baseball?
Well, they have replay.
No, but I know, but it's
what
horrible.
You're asking is so you replay all scoring plays?
Well, just buy or sell the fact that you like it in the game, or is it just a waste of time?
Well, obviously it's not working correctly if it's in the game.
I mean, I'm a buyer of replay in every single sport. Every sport everyone says it's a game of inches, baseball. They're all games of inches, and we're just humans, and sometimes we miss stuff. I love the replay. That was such a bad call. I mean, it wasn't even close. It's like, what was this? Like, is this the new everything feels like the whole world is going that way. You don't even have to win or be good at anything. If you're close, we're going to count it. We need to toughen up sports. We need to toughen up the world, America.
And this is going to sound crazy, but say, you know, the guy hits a home run. Just say it, and it wins the game. And he goes around, trots around, and he misses home plate. He still hit a home run. Give him the point.
No, he's out, bro. He's out, brother. He is out. You missed the
plate. This guy wasn't out.
You're out.
That's great. All right, one last one real quick. Lots of buzz this week about the NFL draft. Buy or sell, you'll sit down to watch the draft on TV.
Let me Brett do the extended answer on this. I'll just say I can't watch the draft. It's just not something I watch. It's just I want to watch the games. Draft's not my gig.
I'm not going to watch. I mean, I may catch bits and pieces, but I didn't sit down and watch at one particular time an hour of the Masters. I kind of in and out. And again, I sort of highlights more than the actual.
I've got friends that are excited to sit down and watch the draft. And I'm like, really? I'm just going
to
get the updates on my phone.
You need to get a life?
Yeah, for real. Well, I work in sports media, so no one here has a life.
That is our true. Life. We've been there. We've seen a bunch of losers there. I'm joking.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. All right, that's buy or sell. We'll do that occasionally with some fun topics.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Good, so I like that one. All right, man, we all good? Brett, how's your week? Everything look good?
All good. All good.
You planting anything on that farm of yours?
Not yet. It's that transition period where now all of a sudden I have to look where I'm stepping so I don't step on a rattlesnake or a big moccasin.
Gotcha. All right. Not my kind of place.
People listening going, do what?
Hey, before I let you guys go, we want to go ahead and bring on. Hey, Poncho, you there, man?
Poncho.
Hey, Poncho. Eric and Brett had something they just wanted to talk to you about real quick on the show. So hold on here. Go ahead.
You make sure you pull over, Poncho. I don't want you driving.
Look, if it makes you feel any better, I'm looking at a stadium that you threw a bunch of interceptions in. Well, I'm talking about, I am on Southern Miss's campus, and I can see him like it was yesterday, just bam, interception, bam, interception. Oh, you get an interception. You get an interception. What do y'all want?
I'll do the honors here, Poncho, my friend. The first time we told the audience, first show, right before the first show, you and I and Brett had a little chat in the green room. You told us about, I was going to say, we're going to talk about Bitcoin. By the way, Bitcoin was 35,000 that day.
Okay, I'm hanging up now.
Poncho said, shit, you know, someone paid me 180 Bitcoin one time for a few hundred bucks worth of rent, and it was only a couple bucks or a few bucks a Bitcoin.
It was $352 a Bitcoin. I remember today. I had 125 of them.
Yeah, and by the way, you're 120. I thought it was 180, but 125 Bitcoins worth around $10 million right now. I hope you held on.
7.8 million. I looked this morning. My daughter brought it up. Dad, how many Bitcoins do we have? I said, Laney, don't mention that no more. That's not funny. $63,000.
The good news, if you listen to this show and you bought Bitcoin at 35,000, it's 63,000 today. That helps anything. Wow. Poncho, what were you doing with 7 million?
I know somebody like you that has bought Bitcoins. I'm proud of
it. What would Poncho do with 7 million extra bucks laying around?
What would I do? Brett would tell me to take more golf lessons.
That's not enough money.
Yeah, I tell you what, I don't even like to think about it. You know, I don't even like to think about it.
But we have okay. fun, though, don't we, Poncho?
Oh, I'm just glad to be here. I'm one of them that feels so good I don't know where to touch myself next. But, oh, Brett, I really am. I am on Southern's campus. I am at the stadium.
Ready to go Thursday morning.
Okay. Hey, Eric. I really appreciate you enlightening my day. It just means so much. Unbelievable.
And you enlighten ours as well, Poncho. Drive safely.
Thank you, guys.
Love
you,
Poncho.
Day.
See ya.
You too, guys. Bye-bye.
Well done.
What about me enlightening his day?
You always enlighten his day, don't you?
Yeah.
I think it was facetious. All right, guys. Brett, awesome. Rob, awesome. Brito, yeah. Good job. We'll get Luke Bryan on here, I guess, May 11th, the day he'll be back.
I'll let you guys know what the deal is with Tim.
That'd be awesome. And maybe prime time.
I'll ask Tim.
Okay. Great week, and see you soon. See you next week, guys.
All right.
Coming real, it's the next episode.
What about Brett Favre?
Follow the show on Twitter for the latest news and links to all our social media channels.
Bowling with Favre is executive produced by Ali Brito and Rob Jenners.
This has been a presentation of Live by Live's Podcast One.